Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Those are the words of Jesus. My dad has often over the years, he has repeated die vier letzte Sache, the four last things, a little saying about the four last things of our life. And they are the death, judgment, heaven, and hell. And I tried to translate them into English, because I felt like several of us probably wouldn't understand all of it otherwise. But death, there is nothing more sure. Judgment, there is nothing more terrible or terrifying. Heaven, there is nothing more joyous. And hell, there is nothing more terrible. And today, earlier already this week, I was led to speak about what I was going to speak about today, and then with Mom's passing, I didn't feel like that would change anything. And today, I have entitled the message, Heaven and Hell. We don't hear a lot about hell these days, but today I want to talk about that some. Also, going to Matthew chapter 8, is where we'll get our text out of. And there, Jesus was going about healing people. And then we'll just start here in verse 5 of chapter 8 in Matthew. And when Jesus was come unto Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and feed and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come unto my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say unto this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said unto them that followed him, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus saith unto the centurion, go thy way, as thou hast believed, so be it unto thee. And the servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Tremendous belief. If that was told unto us at times, be it unto thee as thou hast believed, what would happen? Do we truly believe in our prayers that we are asking God and praying? Are we praying in faith? Just like our lesson today, there where Peter was, the church was there praying without ceasing. But then when Peter was at the door, they wouldn't believe Rhoda. Were they doubting their own prayers? I don't know. But we do know that Rhoda had faith, because she knew that that's who it was. So going on down to verses 11 and 12, that is mostly what I'd like to talk about. And I also appreciated the devotion this morning of trusting the shepherd. I appreciated that very much. How much do we trust the shepherd? Do we really trust God to lead us in our life? But verses 11 and 12 there, "And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." This has two parts. This text has two parts. The first is very agreeable to me, and it actually gives me pleasure thinking about that. The second is terrible. But since they are both the truth, I think they need to be preached. The first part of the text there, "Many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." That gives us, if we think about that, sitting down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and many others, of course, that gives us pleasure. And I like this text because it tells me what heaven is, gives me a beautiful picture of heaven. We know that Jesus said that eye hath not seen nor ear heard the things that God has in store for us. It says it is a place where we shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. What a sweet thought that is. And I just think of, especially of a laboring man, thinking of the rest. He often wipes the hot sweat from his face. He often comes home weary and flings himself on the couch or the recliner or whatever because he's too tired to sleep. He's just been laboring and working. And he says, "Oh, is there no land where I can rest? Is there no place that I can sit and just rest?" Sometimes we get overcome with all the cares of this life, the things that we have to do, whatever it is, and we sort of get weary of life. I would actually like to sing a song at this time, hymn number 576. Thinking about heaven. And I think maybe we'll just sing the chorus on verses 1 and 4. See if we can do that. Shall we sing?
I will sing you a song of that beautiful land, the faraway home of the soul, where no storms ever beat on that glittering strand, while the years of eternity roll, while the years of eternity roll, while the years of eternity roll, where no storms ever beat on that glittering strand, while the
city
in heaven. All are happy there. All is peaceful. Thinking of heaven, toil, trouble, travail, and labor won't be mentioned in heaven. They have no such things there, for they always rest in heaven. And there is that say they are to sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And some people think that in heaven we shall know nobody. I don't know. We don't know how it is. But according to this, it says that we shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. These are Jesus' words. So I believe that we will be aware that they are Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I believe that heaven will be the fellowship of saints. So I don't know if we'll know each other as we know each other now. I have no idea. And it really won't make any difference. We shall have choice company in heaven when we get there. There will be no distinction of the learned or the unlearned, the ministry or the laity. We will all just be able to walk freely and fellowship together because we are all there. We had one thing in common in this life, and that was we believed in Jesus Christ and we followed through. We lived our life accordingly. That's the only way that we will get there. I've heard of a lady who was visited by her minister on her deathbed. And she said to him, "I want to ask you one question now that I am about to die." So the minister said, "Well, what is it?" And she said in a very affected way, "I want to know if there are two places in heaven, because I could not bear that Betsy out there in the kitchen would be in heaven along with me. She is so unrefined." The minister turned around and said, "Oh, don't trouble yourself about that, ma'am. There is no fear of that, for until you get rid of your pride, you will never enter heaven at all." So pride, we must get rid of our pride that we have. That's one thing that we need to get rid of. We must come down, humble ourselves, and stand on equality in the sight of God and see every man as a brother before we are able to be found in glory. And I thank God also that there is not a separate table in heaven for us. The Jew and the Gentile will sit together, the great and the small. We shall feed in the same pasture. We shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of heaven. But also our text hath greater sweetness, for it says that many shall come and sit down together. And I think that's good news for us. They are to come from the east and the west. In other words, there will probably be people there from multitudes, from China, from England, America, Australia, Canada, Siberia, Russia, all over the world. I believe there's Christians almost everywhere, true believers of God. From the uttermost parts of the earth, there shall come many to sit down in the kingdom of God. And there are many that have said that I don't want to have anything to do with Christianity. Yet somehow they were converted and they truly believe. They have been led to the gospel. I've heard of one man who once went to a chapel to hear the singing. And as soon as the minister began to preach, he stuck his fingers into his ears so he wouldn't hear. He just wanted to hear the singing. But after a while, some tiny insect began climbing around his nose. And finally, he had to take one finger out to brush it away. And right then the minister said, "He that hath an ear, let him hear." And he listened, and he was led to salvation. He was converted that night. God met him at the moment to his soul's conversion. He went out a new man, a changed character. The sinner became a saint. Heaven, there's a lot that could be said about heaven. We all want to be there. What are we doing to get there? That is the question. I'll probably talk more about hell today, more about the second part. The second part is really heartbreaking, to think that someone won't make it. There are gloomy words here, but as I said earlier, what is written in the Bible should be preached, whether gloomy or cheerful. Charles Spurgeon once said that there are some ministers who never mention anything about hell. He said, "I heard of a minister who once said to his congregation, 'If you do not love the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be sent to that place which is not polite to mention.'" He just says he ought not to have been allowed to preach again if he can't say exactly what he's saying. He said, "Use plain words." In other words, he's just saying, now if I would say, "Saw a house on fire," do you think I would stand and say, "I believe the operation of combustion is proceeding yonder"? He said, no, I would say, "Fire, fire." And then everybody would understand what I was saying. So we need to use plain words at times. So the second part there, "But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." So if the Bible says the children of the kingdom shall be cast out to outer darkness, should we avoid that part? God forbid. We must speak the truth as it is written. It is a terrible truth, but it needs to be talked about. So who are these children? That is the question. The children of the kingdom, I believe, are those people who are noted for their good works, but their heart is not right with God. There's a lot of people that profess Christianity, but they are not following through. They are not true followers of Jesus Christ. They have not trusted the shepherd. They have not turned their life over to him so that he can lead them. They are living their own life, but they are trying to make it look like they are Christians. They're living in hypocrisy. They're not living in true how they truly are on the inside. Matthew Henry says about this verse, this part of the verse, "Being born of professing parents denominates us children of the kingdom. But if we rest in that and have nothing else to show for heaven but that, we shall be cast out." It doesn't make any difference who we are born to. If we had godly parents, there's a lot of people that say, my grandmother was a godly woman and things like that. Very well, it probably was. But that will not help you if you don't make the choice to truly believe on Jesus Christ and follow him. We must seek God for ourselves, or God must seek us also. You must have the vital experience of godliness in your heart, or else you are lost, even though all of your friends might be in heaven. A mother once had a dreadful dream, and she told it to her children. She had dreamed that the judgment day had come. The great books were opened. They all stood before God. And Jesus Christ said, "Separate the chaff from the wheat. Put the goats on the left hand, and the sheep on the right." The mother dreamed that she and her children were standing just in the middle of the great assembly. And the angel came and said, "I must take the mother She is a sheep, she must go to the right. The children are goats, they must go to the left. She thought as she went, and her children tried to hang on to her and said, "Mother, must we be separated?" She then put her arms around them and seemed to say, "My children, I would, if possible, take you with me." But in a moment, the angel touched her. Her cheeks were dried, and now, overcoming natural affection and being rendered supernatural and sublime, resigned to God's will, she said, "Children, I taught you well. I trained you up, and you forsook the ways of God. And now all I have to say is, amen to your condemnation." And upon that, they were snatched away. Children, does that speak to you? Brothers and sisters, what will you think on the last day to hear Christ say, "Depart, ye cursed"? Oh, to think that you should be lost, it would be a terrible torment in hell for you to look up and see someone that you couldn't stand in this life laying in Abraham's bosom while you were cast into hell simply because you would not believe on Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, but put his gospel aside and lived and died without it. Something serious for us to think about. Life is short. Now the question might be asked, what is it to become of these children of the kingdom? Jesus Christ says that they are to be cast out into outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Notice that they are to be cast out. They aren't just asked to go, but they are cast out. When they come to heaven's gates, they are to be cast out. They cannot enter. As soon as the hypocrites arrive at the gates of heaven, justice will say, "There he comes. He spurned his father's prayers. He mocked his mother's tears. And now here he comes. Gabriel, take him away." The angel, binding you hand and foot, holds you in one single moment over the mouth of the chasm. He bids you to look down, down. There is no bottom. You hear coming from the abyss sullen moans and hollow groans and screams of torture. You quiver, your bones melt within you. You shriek and cry and beg for mercy. But the angel, with one tremendous grasp, seizes you fast and then hurls you down. And down you go into the pit that is bottomless and roll forever downward, downward, never to find a resting place for the soles of your feet. You are cast out. What a terrifying thought. You are cast into outer darkness. You're in a place where there is no hope. For by light in the scriptures, we understand hope. Like a song we sing, there is light at the end of the tunnel. There is light. And you are put into outer darkness where there is no light and no hope. Is there someone here today that has no hope? Someone might say that my business is ruined, but things might take a turn yet. I have hope. Someone else might say, I am in great distress, but I hope that God will provide for me. My mom was in the hospital, and as long as there was life, as long as things were moving along a little bit, we still had hope that God would heal her. But God chose not to do that. But at that point, we still had hope. But in hell, there is no hope. There is no hope of dying. There is no hope of being annihilated. They are forever, forever lost. If I could tell you today that hell would one day burn out, there would be a great jubilation, a celebration in hell. If it would burn out and the people, the sinners could be saved. But it cannot be. It will not be. It is forever. They are cast out forever. Something to think about. The four last things, I think we need to think of those things more often and let that affect how we live our life. So what is it that the lost are doing? They are weeping and gnashing their teeth because of the torment that they are in. Do you gnash your teeth now? You only do that when you're in pain and agony. That's when we gnash our teeth. And in hell, there is always gnashing of teeth. And do we know why? Some of the thoughts, I believe, that will be going through the minds of those that are in hell. The thought of, if only I had listened to my parents. If only I had accepted Christ when I had the chance. There's a lot of, if only this, or if only that, I think that will be going through the minds of those that are cast out. But it is too late. Nothing can be changed at this point. It is forever lost. But we are not at that point today. We are still on this side of the grave. But we must not delay. If we have not given our heart to Jesus. The Bible says today is a day of salvation. Let's not put it off. Let's make sure our life is right and is where God wants us to be. I'd like to read some verses in Luke chapter 13, verses 23 through 29. Verse 23, Then one said to him, Lord, are there few who are saved? And he said unto them, Strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter and will not be able. When the master of the house has risen up and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open for us. And he will answer and say unto you, I do not know you where you are from. Then you will begin to say, We ate and drank in your presence. You taught in our streets. But he will say, I tell you, I do not know you where you are from. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of heaven and yourselves thrust out. They will come from the east and the west, from the north and the south, and sit down in the kingdom of heaven. There again, put out, ye workers of iniquity. Let us repent. I have a question. Do any of us have any, have any of you on your consciences the fact that you have led others to the pit? That is also something to think about. Have you said something or done something that has caused someone to sin that we know about? If we don't know it, I mean, there's not a whole lot we can do about it. But some people will have to give an account for others' sins when they get to hell as well as their own because of the life that they lived. Oh, what weeping and gnashing of teeth there will be. Right now I'd like to sing another song. Number 569. And I hope most of us, if we don't know it, we try to help along. I hope there's several that know it a little bit. So we shall try. I dreamed of the great judgment morning had dawned, and the trumpet had blown. I dreamed that the nations had gathered to judgment before the white throne. From the court came the bright shining angel and stood on the land on the sea and swore with his answer to heaven that time was no longer to be. And all that weeping and wailing as the lost were told of their fate, they cried for the rocks and the mountains. They prayed, but their prayer was too late. The rich man was there with his money and melted and
And oh, what weeping and wailing, as the lost were told of their fate. They cried for the rocks and the mountains. They prayed, but their prayer was too late.
Are you secure in your salvation of your heart of heaven? Or are you tottering on the brink of your grave and sinking into perdition? None of us have a secure lease on life. We may die tomorrow. We don't know. We are not promised our next breath. But let me remind you that God has said that whosoever shall call on him, his name, shall be saved. And to the children and the youth, perhaps you think that the time is not right for you. Let us be happy, you say. Let us be merry and joyous. We want to enjoy life while we're young. How long will you wait? How long? Till I am 21, till a certain age, whatever. Are you sure that you will live till then? Let me tell you one thing. If you do live till that time, and if you have no heart for God now, there's a very strong chance that you will have no heart for God then. Men do not get better if left alone. It is with them as it is with a garden. If you allow weeds to grow, 6 months down the road, you come back, the weeds are going to be a lot worse. It's not going to get better, but worse. In closing, we've talked about heaven and hell. So how then do we escape from hell and find ourselves in heaven? In Mark chapter 16, verse 16, Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." There is nothing said here of works. It does not say that he who is a good man shall be saved. But it says, he that believes. The works will follow. If someone truly believes, the works will follow. But it's not based on works. We have to believe. As I said before already, if someone came inside, running inside and said, "There's a tornado headed straight for you," if we didn't believe him, we probably wouldn't do anything. But if we truly believed that a tornado was coming to destroy this building and we were in it, we would have some actions. So how strong is our belief? Do we really believe? The Apostle Peter believed when Jesus said, "Come on, Peter, walk to me on the water." And Peter went stepping along on the tops of the waves, just walking out there to him without sinking. But when he looked at the waves, he began to tremble, and then down he went. His faith left him. His belief was gone at that point. But Peter cried out, "Lord, save me." And Jesus reached out his hand and saved him. Jesus is still right there, ready to help us. Now Christ says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." If you believe on Jesus Christ, he will help you get rid of your burden that you have. Whatever it might be, he will help you. Look unto Jesus. And that's also what the Jews did out there in the desert. When Moses held up the brazen serpent, He put it up on a pole and he said, look. And they looked. The serpent might even have been twisting around them and they might have been nearly dead. But when they looked, they simply looked at that brazen serpent that Moses had, the snake dropped off and they were healed. Look unto Jesus. Someone once said that none but Jesus can do helpless sinners good. It is only through Jesus Christ. He who trusts in Christ is quite secure. And I'm sure that every Christian that has ever trusted in Christ could say amen to that. Trust in him. He will never deceive you. He will never cast you away. I thank you for your attention. But also I beg of you, if there is some reason or sense in what I have said today, examine yourselves for what you are. And may the Holy Spirit reveal to you your state, and may he make you feel what an awful thing it would be to be cast into hell. May he point you to heaven, and may we all meet in heaven at last. And there we shall be happy forever. May God bless each one. Let us kneel for prayer.